For tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday afternoon, November 26th, 1983. Thanksgiving weekend teaching and deliverance seminar being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campground, Hot Springs, Arkansas. Bill Smith is the teacher of the afternoon. We're going to wait on you for an offering this afternoon. Your offering we're taking for a very special purpose right now. Brother Smith has raised up 5 churches in Mexico, of which they are now self-sufficient as far as taking care of their pastor there. They have supplied the buildings, and they've had to rebuild a building down there and supply it. But they also have an orphanage in Mexico, and it takes several hundred dollars a month to maintain the orphanage and care for the children. And the offering this afternoon will go to Brother Smith for the orphanage. I felt a few weeks ago that we should start helping support the orphanage. We support several different ministries outside of this country. We support Brother Norman Parrish and Brother Golden and others from time to time, but we support them regularly here from the campground out of the finances that come in here to the campground that you send in and that we take as a special offering here once a month. And we do this, but this afternoon the offering will go to help in the care of the orphanage that Brother Smith is responsible for in central Mexico. This offering will go to Brother Smith for the orphanage.
Certainly appreciate that offering. We didn't know that this was going to happen, but we appreciate it. God bless you, and God bless you, Brother Glenn, Sister Irma. You know, I learned a long time ago, I just want to share just for a moment with you. You see, I came from a very selfish family. In my family, we weren't rich, but we didn't hurt for anything. And we didn't have to go outside of our family to ask anyone for nothing. And we didn't care for no one else either. And that's the way that I was raised and brought up. But you know, when God came into my life, I've driven and flown into these foreign countries. People, I've seen them with patch on top of patch, the first patch had worn through, and see the second patch. I took my hands and just straight out the window, the automobile that I had rented, and say, God, I pronounce a blessing upon them. And God brought me from all of that selfishness that I had been ministered to by my parents, because our parents and our sisters were very close together. And if there was any need, brother, with those five sisters and parents, everything was supplied within the family. And so that's the way that I was brought up. But then God moved upon us. We had built churches in Mexico to buy the land and to build a children's home. I went one day on a motorcycle. That might really cause you to backslide. I'm not Evel Knievel, but sometimes I'm jungles, you would think I was. On a motorcycle back into the jungles because I couldn't get a vehicle in there. And brother and sister, everything that I own belongs to the Lord. So God gave me those vehicles, and I'm steward over them, and I must take care of them. And so I'm back in the mountains on a motorcycle, keep from tearing up a vehicle to get in there. I go to a little garbage tin house, rusted through. I pick up three children there, suffering from malnutrition. Little over the arm, just like this. Have you ever been to a place that you cried puddles of tears on the inside, but you couldn't let them come on the outside? Walk into that place, and literally, I was crushed. And I took those three little children. I got permission from the jefe. The jefe in Spanish is like the constable that we have in America. He's the boss over the village. To take those children over to the children's home. We took them over there. They'd never been to school a day in their life. I looked at one little girl. She's a little bitty thing. I looked at her and I said, "What is on you?" She looked up at me and she says, "Kinsey." She's 15 years old. She says, "Kinsey, on you." And she said, "Not any master. I don't have no teacher. I don't have no teacher." Brother and sister, we picked those up. Took them home. You told me that God won't give you favor with the country if you'll walk with him. These people go around and hollering, "I'm of this nationality, I'm this and that and the other." Don't peddle that garbage to me. Brother, a palm tree can live in the desert if his roots has got the mind to go down and get the moisture from the ground. Brother and sister, we can master every situation. God gave us a pastor to become the president of the school system in the village. Come on. Yeah. So we got all of our children into the school, and he's the president. Now, I have to, once a month, I have to furnish the food for every one of the teachers. They come to our children's home and eat once a month at our school there. Today, those children have not only learned to read and write. We only have 16 there because it's very expensive in Mexico to have children in a children's home. We only have 16 now. But then I had a man that he said, "You know, I sure do like you. I like what radiates from you." But he would hold me, you know, sort of like a 10-foot pole, because he was going to be raptured out of one of my vehicles while we were traveling. I told him day after day, I said, "Brother, you may get tired of him, but you ain't leaving. And if you leave, I know where you're at, because God always took out the bad and left the good." So one night he came in there with those little children, because he had seen them when I first brought them down there. He saw them, and those little hands were trying to reach into the hands of the heavenlies. Just worshiping God in tears, just a flowing. And pretty soon, one of those little children stepped out the aisle and began to give a word of prophecy. "Come on, folks. Don't try." Brother talked to me about it. He said, "Brother, I want to mention something to you about some tradition. I call that 144,000 Israelites, 144,000 Jews in Revelation 7. So they came to me and they said, "Brother Smith, don't you teach them what you're teaching them. You're going to choke them to death." I looked at them and I said, "They don't know nothing. And brother, I don't want them to be like a lot of us. We had to unlearn before we could learn. They don't know anything, so why not just teach them to walk into the kingdom instead of walking in tradition? We've spent a lot of time to have to unlearn what we had been taught by our ancestors." But folks, today, God is doing work. I want that big little brother that's been doing the taping in the room. Terry, come here, please. "My son, in thine own self thou hast said, I am an or not. But the Lord would say unto thee that this day I have called thee,
And I have even mapped out the road for thee, even for this place. For thy God has brought thee in this place to submit unto this local authority, that thou would even be exalted and lifted up. And son, when thou art asked to mop the bathroom, son, refrain not back, but son, will get that mop and head for the bathroom. And son, when thou art asked to do anything, be willing. And then, son, notice the days will come when thou wilt stand forth in me. Because you see, I am destined and purposed that thou would even be brought unto me for my schooling and for my development. Because you see, son, thou didst come even from the same place that thy brethren did. They started with nothing. And son, today thou art gaining ground. And so lift thy head unto thy God, because thy redemption is coming unto thee this day. And son, never be weary in well-doing, for in due season thou shalt reap if thy faint not. And son, thy God did put wide shoulders upon thee. And son, thou God has got thee in process to make a pillar out of thee in the temple of thy God. So son, be not exalted within thyself, or not look to thyself for this, but son, it shall come from thy God. And so son, obey, and thy God shall bring it to pass, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Has your earth been broken up today? Brother and sister, all of the fallow ground is going to be broken up, because God's going to show his righteousness within it. Yea, know thou this, the house of the Lord. Yea, I have opened a fountain of my life within thy midst, said thy God. And yea, will thou not stand aside, but yea, will thou lift up the floodgates this day. And yea, will thou allow that river of life to flow into thy being, and yea, to drive out corruption, and yea, to bring forth my life, and to bring forth my understanding, says thy God. But yea, though now this is thy day of visitation, this is the time when I've called thee aside, this is the time when I've brought thee together, yea, to hear of me, says thy God. Hallelujah. 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 Has your earth been broken up today? Brother and sister, all of the fallow ground is going to be broken up, because God's going to show his righteousness within it. Now, I want us to look into the word of the Lord. This morning, that we got over into the afternoon, I want to go and talk to us about the city, but I also want us to look back into Revelation chapter 20 there. And let's notice something here. Brother Enoch went across 7 dispensations of death and laid hold upon life. They beget sons and daughters and live so many years, and then they die. But Enoch walked across that whole 7 generations, because he was the 7th from Adam. And he lived. So you see, folks, today, what I'm saying is this now. You said, Brother Smith, I cannot attain to this enchristed life. The only thing between the enchristed life and the ones that alive and remain upon this earth is the change. So the only difference is those that died within Christ, they never pull life unto them, but they walk that in Christ in life in this earth. But I want to repeat again, if you don't allow this in Christ in life come within you, brother, you better have your plot in the cemetery, because you're going to feel it. You're going to feel it. Come on, let's don't use no hocus pocus. Let's take the word of God and let's walk it out in a balance. Now, brother and sister, I don't own no cemetery property. And every time that someone passes away or close to your neighborhood, you know how the cemetery people will come out and canvass around in your neighborhood. to try to sell you some property. The other day, a man came to me, wanted to try to sell me some property. And I said, sir, you won't understand this because I already know what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians 2:14. Said, the natural man receiveth not the Spirit of God. Neither can he know it because it's foolishness unto him, but it's spiritually discerned. And I said, sir, I am not planning on using any cemetery property. So he looked at me like that I fell out of a well. But I said, sir, I told you that you wouldn't understand. But I said, sir, I'm not looking for cemetery property. I'm looking for a change. I'm looking for a change. And so don't say that Brother Smith said the dead in Christ then is the escape hatch to come out. Brother, you overcome day by day that you can pull life to you. That you can pull life to you. But brother, you've got to grow up from knowing Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God till the Christ worked it in you by the Spirit. No wonder that the psalmist said in 51 verse 6 that we would have truth in our inward parts. So this is what God is looking for. So I wanted to really explain that to us. But now, folks, again, it's not just because that you got a revelation of it. Because I've said to you, it sounds like a broken record, revelation is not formation. Now, without revelation, you'll never walk into it. And that's why that so many people has talked to me in this camp. They said, Brother Smith, the church that I go to, they don't believe what I believe. I hate to tell you this afternoon, but you will never reach perfection until you're under the fivefold ministry. I didn't say that, folks. That's the book. There's a man said one time, he said, you better watch, Brother Smith. Said, he'll pull the word on you. And that's the only thing that I live for. Brother and sister, this word is my life. If I don't know how to spell a word, I know where it is in this. I turn to the page, and I see how it's spelled. You see what I'm saying? This is my life. It's the only thing that I have. And yet I have a beautiful family. And I love my family. But this is first place of my life. So you see, then the dead in Christ, they rise first. In the first resurrection. Because there is more than one resurrection. Daniel said that everyone is going to be raised to eternal life or to eternal life. And so now, let's go into the Word this afternoon. I need your prayers concerning my voice. I get excited by myself and I lose sight where I'm at. And I really tear up this old voice. Turn with me into Matthew 5:14. This is a very familiar scripture to Pentecost. Matthew 5:14 says, ye are the light of the world. Everybody has believed that. But then the next clause, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Brother and sister, this is not done in a corner no more. This is breaking out all over the land today, the truth of God. Then let's notice again, this city that God is raising up today. I'm not a painter. I'm talking about painting pictures. I can run a spray gun a little bit. But I'm talking about painting pictures. The other day, I went to the bank for the secretary, for the church, to make a deposit at the bank. I walked into this bank and I saw those pictures around there. And the cheapest one that I saw was like 50 and 60 bucks. Then over behind the tellers, they had some that went up way up over thousands of dollars each. I looked at those pictures, and I said, my wife has got some pictures in Venn. And I said, them don't look no prettier than that my wife has bought. And I wonder why those are so expensive. Do you know why they are expensive? Because they are a masterpiece. And brother, if you please, God is after a masterpiece faith out of you and I today that God can put on display in the earth and say, now, devil, I didn't try to catch you asleep and sneak this out from behind you, but devil, this is what I've raised up right in your face. Everybody, did you know that the devil is so dumb? Here God was raising up a deliverer. Here is Moses is born in a hut, born to a slave. Is this right? But then God prompted his mother and father, so he was a proper child. They hid him down there in the Nile in a little ark. So God told Mary, said, now Mary, you get down here. I'm going to cause Moses to wet his pants and he's going to scream out. But at the same time that Pharaoh's daughter is going to be walking by. So Pharaoh's daughter come walking by. Moses screamed out. Mary runs down there and says, she tells us, I want you to fetch him. Mary says, let me go get, you may go get his mother to feed it. Brother, you talk about God raising up a deliverer, born in a hut to a slave, and lived in a palace, and his mother got paid for nursing it. Here is the devil, Pharaoh. Here he is giving schooling and education to one that's going to overthrow his kingdom. I want you to know the devil is a servant of the Lord without pay. Brother, this afternoon, God is raising up a city right in the face of the enemy that's going to put the enemy completely out of the picture. A lot of people think, well, the devil, God caught him asleep and sneaked one by him. No, sir. God's going to say, look here, I raised this up right in front of your eyes. Now, let's notice in the Word of the Lord, Isaiah chapter 60, verse 14. The sons also of them afflicted thee shall come bending unto thee. And all they that despise thee shall bow themselves down to the soles of thy feet. And they shall call thee the city of the Lord, the Zion, the Holy One of Israel. Brother and sister, today, you've had a lot of this over the walls. Men make systems that cry out against you. But don't you feel bad to them, Adam, folks. You make sure that you have the right spirit because you're going to have to feed them and nurture them. Because the day is coming when God's going to pull them out behind those walls, then you and I are going to be the fruitful bough that's going to go over those man-made systems, and we're going to bring them out and nurture and feed them and bring them into the place where God brought us. I used to feel upset at them when they would take pop shots at me. But thank God he's made me a target now. I've asked God to help me to be the answer and not the problem. Hallelujah. And brother and sister, day after day, God's going to make you and I the answer. Now, they shall call thee a city. A city. That's what God is building today. Abraham went and looked for the city. And I like this. Said it had foundations. It wasn't thrown together. And brother, if you think that you're going to come and sit down in the pew that grandma sat in, and great-grandma sat in that one before you did, and then you're going to come into perfection. Brother, it's not just two comes together. If any two gather together in my name, I will be in their midst. But it's much better if you come. It's the difference between a rock pile and lively stones that God's building up that city with today. Because Brother Glenn and them, I'm sure they had a lot of lumber and piles of rock and so on out here when they started building this tabernacle here. But brother, it looked a lot better when I came the second time than when I came the first time. Even looks better this year. Praise the Lord. But brother and sister, God is building it. Now I want you to turn with me into Amos. And let's look here at this prophet. Now I know the Bible says, you know, they have called them the minor prophets. They had a great message. They just wasn't long-winded like Bill Smith. They had a lot of truth. In that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David. How many knew that there was the tabernacle of Moses, tabernacle of witness in the wilderness? There was Solomon's temple, and then there was David's tabernacle in Solomon's temple. Now, you and I know that in the old economy, in the wilderness. The tabernacle had three divisions in it. Had the holy place, the courtyard, the holy place, and the holy of holies. And so, but you had to go, only the high priest once a year could go behind that veil into where the Ark of the Covenant was to praise, to worship for their sins and for the sins of the others. But in the day, I will raise up the tabernacle of David. Now, a lot of people is concerned about the temple of Solomon. And they think that God is concerned about raising that up. Folks, Jesus was talking about Herod's temple. He said, I've left it unto you desolate, not to never return again. Brother, I declare unto us today that God's not interested, even though they say they have discovered the ruins and they're about at the foundation where the temple was. God is not interested in that whatsoever. When God says, told Mary of old, said, Mary, I want to buy your body because I'm going to be God that's clothed in your flesh, and the Holy Ghost brooded over Mary, and that thing that was born of her was a holy child called Jesus. And brother, he hasn't been interested in temples anymore. He said, but he cleansed the temple that time, Brother Smith. But he left it not to return again. He said, he was looking at Herod's temple. He said, I'll tear this temple down and I'll raise it up again in 3 days. They were so carnal-minded, they said, well, it took us 46 years to build this, and you're going to build it in 3 days. But he was speaking of his temple. Now, the tabernacle of David is fallen, and close up the breaches thereof, and I will raise up his ruins, and I will build it as in the days of old. Now, when it talks about closing up the breaches, it's talking about closing up the gaps. You know what that means? Like a person one time came to a church in our city, and it was a revival-type church, and they had evangelists coming through all the time. Every week there was a new evangelist there. So every week this man was getting saved every week. Every new evangelist coming, he was always getting saved again. You can only be saved once. You go out from there, you're a disobedient son. You can only be born once. From then on, you'll be a disobedient son. You come back and rededicate your life. So, this night, this man run up to get saved again. So they were laying hands on him and said, God saved him. This other lady right behind him said, no, God saved him. He leaks. He leaks. Brother and sister, the Holy Ghost is wanting to seal us that we don't leak, folks. That we're going from glory to glory into the image of the eternal God. How many remembers when they preached backsliding so much that we practice it? Sure we did. But brother and sister, what is God interested in? He's going to raise up the tabernacle. Brother of David. And you know what? The tabernacle of David is just what has been emphasized here in this camp. The tabernacle of David only had a canvas tent over the Ark of the Covenant. Brother Glenn, there was no three dimensions to go into to the Ark of the Covenant. Brother, you stood before the presence of God and you lifted up your hands and you just worshiped the eternal God. You might say that the Ark is a shadow to us, but buddy, it wasn't to them. It was, God said, I will meet with you there and I will commune with you there. Now that's the book. But now to us, it's Emmanuel that our sister was saying to us this morning. God is with us into the innermost being of this tabernacle. Hallelujah. See, there's three dimensions of man, body, soul, and spirit. And so now, he said, I'm going to raise up the tabernacle of David. I'm going to close up the breaches because you and I are not going through any man-made system. You and I are going to come before the presence of God and we're going to worship and praise God until God purifies us and purges us, until He's interpenetrated within us, until we walk in God's glory in this earth. Now, let's go a little further. And they may possess the remnant of Edom. How many knows what Edom is? That's from Esau. Now, the Bible says that Esau was a hairy man and said that he was a man of the field. That's what the Old Testament says. Right? Then we come to Matthew 13, and the Bible says the field is the world. Is that right? That's the world. Okay, then we're going to possess all of this flesh. And brother, if you please, Abraham. Abraham started up the mountain with Isaac. Ishmael wasn't invited to go. And then the servant and the donkeys only went so far. And God told us, or Abraham told the servant to stay there with the donkeys. Then me and Isaac, we're going up this mountain over here, we're going to worship and we'll return. Brother, there's no flesh that's going to climb the mountain of God. But we're going to judge these Edomites. It's within every one of us. And all of the heathen which are called by my name, saith the Lord that doeth this. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the tread of grapes him that soweth seed, and the mountain shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. Now, how many of you farmers has went and planted seed one day and go out there and gather the crop the next day? He said the plowman is going to overtake the reapers. Brother, what is he saying? God said that I'm going to send that rain, that latter rain, that former rain, in the first month, and I am going to bring an instant crop. And you and I have been seeking for deliverance. We've been seeking to overcome, and we've been seeking to put the light of death. And brother and sister, you and I are coming to the place that God's going to bring an instant word within us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mountains speaks of kingdoms. Are obstacles. You travel in those down in our country, down in Mexico, you'll see a long old road, and down there you'll see a little old hill, and it'll block everything else is in front. Brother and sister, there's many today that you've allowed obstacles to block your path. But brother, he said they're going to melt and come down. Then there's times we speak of mountains as kingdoms. When God was going, Jesus Christ was going to be transfigured, he went up on Mount Transfiguration, Matthew 17, was transfigured. Moses talked to God, he went into the mountain, stayed for 40 days and 40 nights. But brother and sister, remember the scripture said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea. Brother and sister, today, there's time that every last one of us, we have spoke to those mountains. And we've seen them pulverized. And we've seen them removed. But brother, I want to tell you something. There's been days in my life that I've had to walk them out. They wasn't mine until shoe leather went in there. And brother, don't get discouraged when you have to walk it out. Because brother, you're training to take this world over for God. All right? Then let's notice a little further. And I will bring again the captivity of my people of Israel. And they shall build the waste cities and shall fly away from them. Oh, excuse me. And shall inhabit them. I want to tell you something, folks. And since I've been in the ministry, I've seen many one come to us so empty, such wasteland, and all their lives in such condition. One day, my wife and I, we were crying out to God. And I said, God, how come do you always send people to me that's always in a mess? God, why don't you send me some people that can just step with me with the pulpit and help carry this gospel on? But I said, everyone you send me is always in a mess. And with a kindly rebuke, the Lord said to me, he said, son, they that I didn't ask no more. I didn't ask no more. Brother and sister, I want you to know you and I have the answer unto the problem of humanity today. Come on. We are the balm that's in Gilead. We are the ointment that's poured forth. You said, Brother Smith, are you bragging only in him? I'm not preaching me, I'm preaching him. And so you see now, when God sends them to with their lives wrecked, within a month, you won't ever tell it. Our organist, and if you tell it, mean you've had it. Brother Glenn, Sister Irma, they've met our organist. Our organist came to us. She would play a little bit back in those days, but very little. Came to us, to my house, from the Baptist background. Fell in my floor in my house. And I thought, my God, what maniac has come here? grabbed a hold of her hair and was pulling her hair out by the handful. I grabbed that girl by the hand on one side, and it was all that I could do was to keep that hand out of that hair. My wife was on the other side, and she scooted my wife on the floor in my home. Brother, today you'll not see no evidence of no demons in that girl today. Why? Because God changed her life. And brother, today she's one of us and has been now for 14 years. 14 years she's been on that Oregon now. But brother and sister, this is what I'm saying today. We go around and we say, God, can you do this? Bless your heart. It's time that you rise up and quit telling God to do it, and you rise up and do it. Come on. God said, tell Moses. Moses said, God, you do it. God said, Moses, you get up and do it yourself. We look at those that need help. Come on, I admit I get weary sometimes and having to pray for everybody because I like a little myself. Come on. But brother and sister, when God said to me, he said, thou holy not a physician, I never tried to pick my congregation no more. Brother, if we're a soul-saving station, and if we're a clinic that we're going to save them body, soul, and spirit, let's get after it. Let's get after it. All right, now inhabit them. And they shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof. They shall also make gardens and eat the fruit of them. You mean to tell me that we're going to do all of that and still be left here? How many saw parts of that the day after? Oh, there was a lot of repercussions. We have cable. They were talking about Brother James Robertson and many of those ministers. Say, we get them all the time because we're on cable. Lester Summerall, the great Bible teacher, we get him all the time at home. Oh, there was a lot of repercussions over the day after. And I'm sure that there wasn't too much of it exaggerated from what it was and so on. But I want you to know today that doesn't concern me. Don't you let it shake you. Brother, my God says the meek shall inherit the earth. And brother, if it's got nuclear waste in it, when God puts us in it, we'll purify the nuclear waste. And brother, you said, oh, but Brother Smith, what are we going to do about the nuclear that's coming around? Brother, we're going to be immune to it. Come on, folks, don't worry about it. The Bible says the meek shall inherit the earth. So you see, it don't worry me. It doesn't shake me. Am I going to believe the Bible or am I going to believe a movie star? Hello? Yeah, Brother Glenn says a falling star. Come on. Am I going to believe the Bible or am I going to believe a falling star? My Bible says, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, not a bunch of nuclear waste. And nobody with the hair being falling out and spots coming on them for the chemicals. Don't shake me. I know what the book says. Now, and I will plant them upon their land. Whose land? And they shall no more be pulled up out of their land, which I have given them, saith the Lord thy God. Brother, I'm going to be planted in the land. Hallelujah. I'm going to be a part of that city. Hallelujah. Maybe I'm a doormat that goes to the city of God. But brother, I'm going to be that part. And I'm going to inhabit the land. I'm going to plant. And I'm going to live therein. Hallelujah to God. And I'm going to enjoy what God is helping us to raise up in the earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So people, do you know why that people can brainwash you and get you off into a cult? Because you neglect this. This here will lead you, guide you into all truth. And I want to tell you something while we're talking about truth. There's a lot of junk that's in the earth today, and there's enough truth about it to float it along. Come on. It's not all error. There's always enough truth to float it along to get it by you. But brother, we're becoming wise as serpents and as harmless as doves today. And brother and sister, we're going to take over this land. In case you didn't get that this morning, we are the best that God has got. Hallelujah. Turn with me now to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. And let's look at the word of the Lord. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 10. Let's skip up to verse 9. This is speaking of Abraham. Verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place, this is Genesis 12 that he's talking about, was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance. Obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whether he went. Brother Ely, in the last 20 years, brother, we went a lot of places that we didn't know that we were going to do. I asked God, God, give me the road map. God said, I'm going to give you one step at a time. When I move my foot, you put your foot in. You follow me. Come on. He went out not knowing where he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as a stranger. Strange country dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac, Jacob, and heirs with them of the same promise. For he looked for a city. He looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker was God. Whose builder and maker was God. And brother and sister, this is what God is saying to us today. Now, let me just read you another verse in the same chapter, the 39th verse. And all these have obtained a good report through faith, receiving not the promise. Now, I say always about this verse here. If you don't have a good report, just don't report. Come on. Just don't report. What are you saying, Brother Schmidt? If you can only get up and stand up and suppose be your testimony, that I'm glad that the devil didn't get me today, that Jesus just barely did slip me out. Don't report. Just be seated. Brother, I declare unto you today that God's not having a people that's not a militant people. You're going to be militant in warfare in every area and every facet of your being. If you please, there is no other species like you. You are a rare people. Not a strange people, but rare. Now notice what he said. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Brother, they're waiting for you and I to get this together. Because they can't be made perfect without us. Now, turn with me into the next chapter, chapter 12, verse 22. This morning, I want to say to us, as I was looking up here this morning through the Spirit, I saw many levels. Many levels. Do you realize, even though that we're headed up Mount Zion, that some of them is farther up the mountain than others are there? Some are stood up and haven't made the decision yet because they said, I can't make it. Others said, the hill's too high. There's too many giants in the land. But you and I are not going to allow the giants to scare us out of the land. We're going in and possess it for God. All right? But ye are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, not the Jerusalem that's in the Middle East, but a heavenly Jerusalem. What did my brother Glenn say to us the other morning? How that the man brought and said, we are the Israel of God, brother. The city of the living God, to the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of holy Jews made perfect. I can't do it because I'm not holy enough. Brother and sister, today, you don't have no holiness of your own. You have been partakers of His holiness. Now, Brother Smith, you said, what about all these other things? Brother and sister, God is on the inside working His way out in you and I. Enemy works from outward inward, and the Spirit works out inward outwardly. And brother and sister, when you're walking in the Spirit, you don't have to tell people how to dress. of what to do. Come on. They're walking in the Spirit. But there's been some that we've had that hadn't walked in the Spirit. Come on. And so then a little leadership is required. Come on. But brother and sister of just men made perfect. Brother and sister, today I am on my way to perfection. I have not arrived. And perhaps you're farther along than I am. But brother and sister, you just, Bible said we're going to dream dreams and see visions. You let me dream on, because brother, my destination is I am going to arrive to perfection in God. Because I know that He's going to perfect that which concerneth me. Now, let's turn to Revelations 21. Revelations 21. People say to me, they say, Brother Smith, I'm scared of Ezekiel, Daniel, and Revelation. Brother, they're given by the Spirit, and you can only interpret it by the Spirit. I don't know about you, but I spend many hours when I'm at home in my study. Many times I look at the pages in my Bible. I wear out a Bible about every 3 years. Many times the pages are so crinkled because of the tears that fell on the pages as I'm sitting there in heaven's all open up to me in the precious Word of the Lord. I write, I study, I search. Ask God to reveal. Thank God for the wife that I have. A lot of women wouldn't put up with me. When I was supposed to be some other places, I'm in there in my study. And when I was in business, my wife would have my meals cooked for me when I'd come home from work in my business. I would clean up and go to my study. Instead of her laying around crying and telling me, you don't love me, and all of this, that, and the other, she was helping me to get into the Word of God, to study, to show myself approved unto God. But now let's notice something. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first earth, first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city. What did we say in Hebrews? Was it the New Jerusalem? The holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. There's two things that I don't like to do. And a person came to me last week. Said, Brother Smith, I've been going to the church here for 13 years now. Said, I've seen you preach one funeral out of our church. One person passed away in our church. Brother Smith, in 13 years. That's the only one that's ever passed away out of our church since I've been pastor. You said, have you been lucky? No, it's been God all the way. The other day, I had to bury a man that was 80 years of age, but he wasn't directly from our church. His wife had been there, but he got saved practically on his deathbed. I took him off his deathbed because he wanted it, and that was his desire, that I baptize him in water. And just before I came here, I buried him. But brother and sister, if you'll notice something, there's two things I don't like so very well. That's preaching funerals and performing marriage ceremonies. Come on. But in all of the weddings, and brother, believe me, I performed a many one of them. But I've never had no bride to come down there with head and carrying hair rollers and had their head all pinned up and said, I come to get married. That beautiful lady came down there with such a beautiful dress, the prettiest day of her life. And she come to present herself to be married unto that groom. Brother and sister, we think that we're going to sit around and not get ourselves ready. Brother, there's not going to be no wedding for you if you're not ready. They prepare themselves and they get ready, and that's the prettiest day of their life. And now Lord says, as a bride adorned for her husband. I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with man, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. What do you and I have here is our brother, and as I quoted it, and he come back and he quoted it again last night. He that has joined unto the Lord is one spirit, not twain. One. This is heaven and earth is united together. Because what did it say? I saw the New Jerusalem coming down. Everybody's talked about the missing link. When God looked over, Jesus Christ looked over to Nathanael, said, Nathanael, I saw you when you was under the fig tree. And Nathanael said he didn't understand that. Jesus looked over to Nathanael. He said, that ain't nothing. He said, you just wait until I link heaven and earth together and you see the angel of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Brother, and I declare unto you today that God is linking heaven and earth together with you and I. He is the God of the universe, and now he's got you and I in the earth. Linking it together. You and I are the missing link. Come on. That God is linking. Now where we got heaven and earth united together because God has come down to live with man. Is this getting too strong? And then what do we have? We have God and man united together and resting together. That's getting good, isn't it? Huh? Might not be good grammar, but that sure is good. Hallelujah. Man and God united together and resting together. That's what God is doing today. So, of course, I can remember when they told me that I was going to sit, roll up my breeches leg and sit on the bank and dingle my feet off down into the river of God. You know, they told me that. But it was sort of hard for me to take. But then notice something. Dwelling with them. Man united and resting together in God. Joined in one spirit. Joined in one spirit. Then let's notice again. And God shall wipe away all the tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death. Come on. This is what we're after, folks. There shall be no more death. And I'm talking about the city of God. Neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Now, what did we say this morning? We went through birth pains. Sure we have. But, brother, we're coming to the place that these birth pains are passing away because the city has been birthed forth, and we have become the city. And he sat upon the throne and said, behold, I make all things new. Now, for the sake of time, I want to skip on down now to the 10th verse. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, sending down of heaven from God. Having the glory of God, and her light was like unto the most precious stone, even as jasper stone, clear as crystal. Now, this is what we're talking about, folks. Clear as crystal. Transparent is what God is after, this masterpiece in you and I in this earth today. That's why it doesn't bother me for God to load me up. Because, you see, I already knew that there is no temptation that's going to come to me except it's already coming under me. But with that temptation, God will make a way of an escape. And God is faithful. He will not tempt me above that which I am able to stand. Now, that's God's word. All right? So now, this transparency, clear as crystal. Brother and sister, today we see the body of Christ and we see the faults. We see immaturity and all of that. But brother and sister, day after day we're growing out of it. You said, but Brother Smith, how do we do that? 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 says this, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Now you notice it says walk. Have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us. Brother and sister, every day of our lives we're coming into more impurity than removed and coming in to clear as crystal with God. That's what God is doing. That was what was taking place here this morning. Hallelujah. But brother and sister, I'm saying, God, hasten the day. Hasten the day. Oh, hallelujah. That I come and arrive to this destination in God, having the glory of God. Now, and had a wall, great and high, had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and the names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israelites, Brother Glenn. But notice something here. It said, had a wall. Do you remember God telling Adam over in Genesis chapter 1? Adam, you subdue and you keep and you guard the garden of God. What was God saying to Adam? Adam, you be a wall in that garden. You wall out and you exclude everything that's outside of the garden, and you include everything that's inside of the garden. But see, a lot of times we want to blame the women. And praise God, if it wasn't for the women, the church wouldn't be where it is today. And Adam said, God, I didn't do that. It was that woman that you gave me. But brother and sister, God has called us to be a wall in this city. And we're going to wall Satan out of our midst. And we're going to include everything that's of God. You said, but Brother Smith, I haven't gotten there yet. This is your goal. This is your goal. This is the finality. This is the final change that God is bringing us into. Then let's notice it had the 12 gates and the 12 angels at the gate. Now, you do know that Ezekiel and in Revelation 4 said that the angels are going to fly through the air preaching the everlasting gospel. Do you know what those angels are? They are messengers. Do you know what those messengers are? That is us's. That is us's. Is that good grammar? Or maybe we could say Oklahoma style, that's you and it. Or you all. We say in Texas, you all too. But brother and sister, this is what we're talking about today. That God is raising up this city today. You're not going to the city. You are being the city. You are being the city today. And God is making. And I look at our failures and everything and I say, Lord, how? But God don't need me to run His business. He knows how to take care of it. Then let's notice again. Everything, you know, in the first half of the book of Revelation is in seven. Seven times it said to him that overcometh, I grant to sit with me in my throne. Or to overcomers. Not to sit in throne, but overcomers. Seven times he said, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said to the church. Okay, that is perfection. Seven is a number of perfection. But 12, you see, 7 has been changed over to 12 now. This is governmental perfection. And this is what God is bringing. And this is why that we can see the 144 cubits. Because, brother and sister, we're coming into four square in God in every area of our lives. God is bringing forth that masterpiece. I heard a man say one time that he was making molasses. Stirring him glasses and taking off the impurity that was coming off. The man looked up there and said, how do you know when you get all those impurities off from the molasses? He said, I can tell when I can see my face in the molasses. And brother and sister, when God can look into here and see His face, brother, the impurity has been removed. But he's still looking into today, and he's still seeing a mixture. He's seeing part of Bill Smith and part of himself. But brother, the day's coming when he's going to see himself in here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because God is after the masterpiece. Then let's notice. As he talked with me, he had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the walls thereof. No other time in the Bible has God been able to measure the city by His own measurements. If you remember one time, there was a man that was gone to measure the city. And God told us that you and sent this boy and said, you go and stop him. And don't let him measure it. Because the city was not in a position to be measured by God's standard. Gold is God's divinity, it's God's nature, it's God's standard. This is the only time that you'll find in the book that God is measuring his city by gold, the golden reed. Because he's measuring it by himself now. And that's why you and I are coming to the places that we've encountered even in the last year. Because why? Brother, God's measuring us by himself now. And don't you ever think that it was Satan's request that he jump on Job. God hit Satan on Job. Said, Satan, have you considered my servant Job? Brother, I'm thinking that God said, if you consider my servant Glenn, I want to measure him by myself. I want to measure him by myself with a golden reed. And brother and sister, today, if you think that you're going to walk in the kingdom and we have to part your mustache to get the bottle in your mouth, you've got it wrong. Come on, folks. Brother, God's looking for grown men and women today that's going to grow up in God. He that uses milk is unskillful in work and in deed. That's the book. So, brother and sister, today, I'm a pastor. I have to change diapers. And they're old people, too, folks. They're not babies. I still have to change their diapers and rock them to sleep. But, brother, one of these days, I'm going to rock them the last time. They're going to grow up. They're going to grow up in God. Hallelujah. But notice what he says here. And the city lies four square. That's when that you and I come to the place that, you see, four is the number of world creation. Four winds, four seasons. And you and I are coming that we're four square. God looks into this area of our life, he sees his face. Looks into this area of our life, he sees his face. Looks into this area of our life, he sees his face. Then he looks into here, he sees his face. Because why? We become four square in God. Hallelujah. Then, notice something. And the length is as large as the breadth. And as the measure of the city, with the reed, 12,000 furlongs, the length and the breadth and the height of it are equal 20 cubits. That is the only measurement in the tabernacle in the wilderness, and that was the holiest of holies, about 15 feet square. And brother and sister, what has happened again? God has set up the holiest of holies in the earth, within mankind, within the city. Because why? We've come to this place of the four dimensions of God. Now, and he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man. That is, of an angel. Now, if you like, you stay right there where you're at, but let me look at Luke chapter 20, and let's look at a scripture. Luke chapter 20. People said, Brother Smith, verse 35. I can't attain to that level. I got news for you. I can't either by myself. But I can in God. All I have to do is just submit, give up, and become his prisoner, and he'll do the work. Now, but they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead, neither marry or given in marriage, neither can they die anymore, for they are equal unto angels. And are the children of God being the children of the resurrection, the children of the kingdom. The children of the kingdom. So then, and he built of the wall, and it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold. It was pure gold, like unto clear glass. Clear glass. And the foundation of the wall of the city was garnished with all manner of precious stones. Brother and sister, today, just in case you didn't notice, Genesis 1, there's many stones that's mentioned there. But there's not one mention of silver. Why, Brother Smith? I'm glad you asked. Because in Genesis 1 was the eternal purpose of God, and God said, I will make man in my likeness and my image. Not, there was no need for redemption right there. Because God was looking for an eternal purpose. Eternal purpose. And now don't you misunderstand me and said that God had to bring forth escape hatch and bring forth redemption. God had the redemption plan in his mind before he ever said, let there be light. He already had that redemption plan. So don't get excited that Brother Smith don't believe in that. But brother, I want to show you there's not one mention of it, because why? God said, I want to make man in my likeness and my image. In this 21st chapter of the book of Revelation, you'll find not mention of silver. Why is there not mention of silver? Because there's no need of redemption. Brother, we have been redeemed of God. The final work has taken place within mine and your life to bring us into that order that God was after from the foundation of the world. That's what he was after, that masterpiece. Now, do you believe that you're the best that God's got? You are. But don't you get around somewhere and crow at it. Because they already think that we're already exalted. This message don't lift up you and I. It lifts up the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ our Lord. So you see, folks, that's why there's no need for redemption. Because we have been redeemed unto God. We've come into the fullness of God that God was after from the beginning. If you please, this is the Eve after the flood that came through the warfare and came through and produced and became the city. Brother and sister, you think that the enemy is going to wear out God's people, wear out the saints of the Most High God? No, they're going to take the kingdom. The people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. They left Daniel 11 and 32. And brother and sister, today, that's why it doesn't worry me one bit. Now, can I say something to you? Did you know now I worry because that I don't worry? Would you like for me to explain that now? There has been a many times that there were troubles that came our way, and I would go to pieces. But brother and sister, I have taken hold of the Word of God, and now I just look to God, look to the Word of God, and I begin to count it so, and don't go all to pieces. And then I get to wondering, have I become so hard that nothing penetrates me anymore? Now let me explain it a little bit more than that. My grandson, you see, I'm 19 years older than my oldest daughter. My little grandson was born, weighed 3 pounds and 15 ounces. The doctor told us, and my daughter said, the child we can't give you. And I went to him and I said, Doctor, you know what kind of chance that we have? What kind of odds do we have? He looked at me and he said, Mr. Smith, you don't have no odds. He said, you don't even have a chance. We went home from that hospital at 2 o'clock in the morning. We went to bed. My wife lay over there in bed, and she began to just break down and just weep. I want to tell you something, folks. Us men, we love, but we don't have a mother's love. We don't have a mother's love. My wife broke down and began to cry. I turned over and I grabbed her and I shook her. I said, you cut that bawling out right now. And you stand in faith with me, because that bawling is not going to do one thing for our boy. You agree with me in faith that we'll hold that child before God, that God will bring that child forth. Now, you say, that's why I worry, because I don't worry. Because, brother, I know that there's a place in God that you can lay hold upon, that everything is working for mine and your good, to bring forth that eternal purpose within us. I know that everybody's always talking Romans 28. Sure, I'm going to suffer a little bit, but in the end, I'm the winner. But verse 29, let's read about the purpose. That's what 28 for, to bring forth the purpose of God within us. So, today, my little grandson, they wanted to skip 2 grades of school with him this year. Well, my daughter, he's got a big mouth. Now, they said he took it after me, and I said he took it after his daddy. And they said, well, if we put him up in the bigger classes, said, them children at first are much bigger than him. Said, they're going to really work him over. But see, he has a problem. He gets all of his lessons and they're not hard enough for him. And he sits around, y'all dumb and y'all stupid. If he just keep his mouth shut. Okay? So then they promoted him, and so, and still it's not working yet. So most likely before this year's out, they'll have to move him up 2 grades in school. Skip the other grades for him because they're not hard enough for him to do. But brother and sister, this is what I'm talking about today. There is this place in God that you and I are coming into, that we know that we came from God. We're on our way back into the fullness of God, and we're going to see God manifested here in this mortal flesh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And brother and sister, this morning, when God moved in the realm of the Spirit that He took us into, listen, folks, we crossed over this morning. We touched that world on the other side, and of the good word of God, as the book tells us all. We crossed over this morning. But brother and sister, I want to declare to you, it's not going to get no better than that. But brother, we just have it today. Let's go in and not come out no more. Let's walk it out in here. Let's manifest it to the world that we are the city of the living God, that He's come to dwell within us, that now that He has united heaven and earth together, and God and man are resting together in one spirit in the Lord. Would you stand with me? Hallelujah. 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 Brother Glenn asked me about us praying. Brother Glenn, are we going to have mass prayer? Don't you believe that we're growing up in God that we don't have to have hands laid on us? Now, if you can't get it no other way, we'll do that too. But I want to tell you something. I appreciate Brother Glenn anointing the handkerchief with oil. But I want to tell you something. And a lot of people can't receive their healing unless they've been anointed with oil. But I want to tell you something. There has been enough of the oil of the Spirit that's poured out in Psalms 133. Behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Like the precious ointment that went down the beard, even Aaron's beard, went down to the skirts of the garment. It's going to be like the dew of Mount Hermon. And there He commended life even forevermore. Brother, I thank God for that little oil that goes upon us. But brother, I'm looking for that oil that's going to saturate the whole entire body. That, and brother, they wasn't 2 bottles of oil that went on Aaron and Aaron's sons. It was the same bottle of oil. The same oil that's on the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the same oil that's putting on us today. All right? Now, I want us to join together in unity this afternoon. And that this word that has been brought to you today, and I know God's had a poor deliverer boy to bring it to you, but I pray that you can lay hold upon this word. And what God did for you in the services today and since you've been in this camp, brother, that you don't go back to your dwelling place and allow it to leak out. But you will spark revival in your place. We had a seminar in Tampa, Florida in February. A lot of us ministry had an international seminar. We went there and I spoke the first night in the seminar. And then we have a panel during the day and we answer questions and all these things. And brother, from the outpouring of that Spirit in that seminar, they built the church out there just moving on with God. And brother, you must become a revival in your community. You that are in dead churches and you don't have a church of life to go to, brother, you become a revival in that church where you're at. I refuse. If I'm on the Mojave Desert, I'm going to be a revival. Come on. I refuse to not be a revival. And brother and sister, this afternoon, we're going to agree together. And I want you to, this afternoon, as we pray, as if though we have laid hands upon every one of you, that you appropriate this word to your very being. That God's going to change you and mold you and fashion you into this new Jerusalem, this city of the living God. That's come down from God, that's by the Spirit of the living God. It's not made with hands, but it's God. Let's pray. Our Father God, this afternoon, everyone that's here in the sound of my voice this afternoon, Father God, some of these truths that you so shared with me, Father, Father, as we brought unto them this stuff, oh God, I pray that you would take by their spirit, Lord, and burn them within their being this afternoon, oh God. And Father, that this word will even bring healing to their physical body. Lord, it will bring salvation unto their physical body. God, that they will come into this total redemption in the oil, God. Father, every one this afternoon that we appropriate and stimulate this word unto them this afternoon. And God, we apply it by your spirit, Lord. And Lord, we appropriate to every individual this afternoon. And Lord, from this day on, that there will be a day of new beginning for every individual in Jesus' name. Lord, that they will notice change in their lives, Lord. Spiritually, physically, financially, Lord. Lord, that they will even be a greater overcomer from this day forward, Lord. Lord, that they realize that you're after the masterpiece in their life, Lord. And God, that you would bring it about in Jesus' name this afternoon, Lord. God, grant it to this people, Lord. God, you commanded us in your word. You said if we abide in you, our words abide in us. We ask what we will, and it shall be done. Father, you said we ask anything in your name, and that you will do it. And God, I know of a certain this afternoon, Lord, that you hear us when we pray, Lord. And God, that you will bring this about in every individual this afternoon. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, I speak to every spirit of doubt this afternoon. I speak to every spirit of confusion this afternoon, Lord, that try to veil these minds of their understanding, Lord. Lord, we open up the womb of their minds today, oh God. Lord, we stamp out confusion, Lord. Lord, we enlarge their capacity this afternoon, Lord. Lord, you lay hold of your word, oh God, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. God, you raise them up as lights, as city, Lord. God, that their city set on a hill, Lord. And Lord, we know the reason why, Lord, because you're going to make a pathway under the door for the wayfaring man and those that are around about, Lord, that don't know the way. God, we realize that you've given them the meat to eat that the world knows not of. And God, this evening we see, Lord, that you rightly divide your word within them and through them, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen, Lord. Amen, Lord. Father, every bit of the sickness that's upon this ground of this facility here, Lord, of Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. God, we rebuke it from this premises. Lord, we apply the bloodline upon the boundaries of this property, Lord. That, Lord, that nothing to penetrate this property, Lord, of it would be unlike you. And God, today we claim it for the glory of God and for the upbuilding of your kingdom, Lord. We praise you for it, Master. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Lord, those this afternoon that said, I can't make it. I can't attain to that level. God, we take authority over those words. And we rebuke those words. And Lord, we instill that we can do all things through Christ which strengthen us. Lord, we know that you are our sufficiency today, Lord. And God, those that are in that place, Lord. Lord, open up there that they can take hold and apply and walk it out today, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Folks, I never knew. What was taking place when God told me about this camp. The day that I left to come here, I went to bed at 11:30. At 3 o'clock in the morning, I was up in my study before God. Because, listen, I'm not interested just filling an appointment, filling a date. But, brother, I want to be the messenger from God to his people. And if I can't be, God, I'm better off to stay home and still making havoc and making it hard on God's people. I asked God to search me out. And Lord, I said, you feel me? I forget what anything that I've got stored up. Last night, me and my brother and my sister, another brother and sister, we went down and had a sandwich after church last night. I came back and I went to my room. I have no concordance. I have no dictionary with me or anything. After 12 o'clock last night, I sat there. I wrote scripture down as fast as the Lord spoke them to me, and then I began to move with those scriptures that we had today, this morning. Brother and sister, I want to know what God's saying for us today. We have to get up into a level that we can accept what God is saying for us today. Grandma and grandfather couldn't walk in this day. We thank God for their day. But brother, what they had for that day is not what you and I are coping with things. Brother Ely, we're coping with things today that we didn't when we first started became pastors, aren't we? We're dealing with things today that we didn't deal with 10 years ago. But brother, I'm more determined now to bring forth the glory of God to this earth than I've ever been in my life. So folks, the work that God has done, you appropriate it today. God bless your heart for the plan.
We've got time before we eat to praise and worship the Lord in some song. If you want to leave, well, you're welcome to leave. We're just going to sing and praise the Lord for a while. Lunch won't be ready until about 5 o'clock or thereabouts. So in the meantime, we're just going to praise the Lord, and you're dismissed if you want to go.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.